This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm getting pizza today for the first time in 3 months, and I'm so excited to eat it that I'm taking a shower first.
I'm Brandi Posey, and I can't decide if I want to learn how to make soy candles or Molotov cocktails.
I'm Tess Barker, and wait, why am I still wearing thongs?
This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara. Show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Well, we know it's past day 69, Brandi. I loved your 69.
Let's bring our guest on. She's amazing comedian, co-host of the Brighter Side podcast, Amber Nelson. Hi.
Hello. What a delight to be here with you beautiful women.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amber. Thanks for doing the show. Happy post day 69 to you of quarantine. I hope you celebrated accordingly.
I did.
Brandi went all out for day 69. Tell everyone what you did, Brandi.
Oh, man. Me and my roommate, Anna, we decided to... I didn't write any days past day 69 on my calendar that I'd been keeping track because I just was wishful thinking. I was like, maybe something magical will happen on day 69 and then it'll just end. So I just didn't even write 70. And then we just kept staring at it. And 2 days before, we were like, all right, let's just make a list of friends that like are on a decent route. And we're just going to stop by people's houses and surprise them. And we like went to the dollar store and got all these dollar store things. And we had these like dart blow gun things that we put cardboard dicks on, and we were like blowing glitter at people. And I dressed up in an inflatable dinosaur suit, and we made day 69 signs and played jock jams, and we're dancing around outside of people's houses at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, I got like, I heard something outside my house in the court, like I'm not answering the door ever. Ever, even normally, but especially not now. So I was like, what the fuck is that? And then I go out there, and yeah, I see like Brandi in her this dinosaur costume, and like day 69. It was great. It was really funny. Was so I was not silly. Awake, but I was like, what the fuck's going on?
It was amazing. Barbara just comes down like in this like flowy gown. Just
I was also wearing my like floral muumuu, which was perfect. Yeah. I was like, wow, I'm really glad I'm wearing this right now.
Perfect outfit to receive a 69.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because like we had to be very decisive about who we were stopping at because I was like, okay, I want to hit as many people as possible because I had like therapy at 2 o'clock, but like also we didn't want to go to anyone before 9 o'clock because I was like, I don't want to wake anybody fully up, but nine feels like it's starting to be appropriate. So it's like, okay, we got like a 5 hour window here. We got to go. So I think we ended up hitting like 18 different houses.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is fun. Yeah.
That's
we
great.
Put in, we like had a map and we're like figuring out the route and everything. It was really great.
I'm so sad I'm quarantining at my mom's because I would have stopped for sure.
Oh yeah. You would have been like the first or the last place.
Yeah.
Danielle Perez at the last place. And it was so funny. She just was like sitting in her doorway, just clapping. And her UPS guy came up. This was the best part. Every like, service worker that we saw, the delivery drivers were all like, hell yeah, day 69. Because I had it written all over my car. I just had like eat pussy 24/7 written on
my
the hood of my car.
That's amazing. You know UPS guys eat pussy. For sure.
Have you seen those shorts?
I think so.
I think UPS guys eat more pussy than FedEx guys.
Oh. Well, they like a box. Yes.
Yeah, Amber,
post
do you have any thoughts?
Guys do it in the butt.
Oh If you're a delivery driver of some kind and you have some inside info, please let us know. ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Amber, if that endorsement doesn't save the post office, I don't know.
Save the post office. They do butt stuff.
Like, are we really going to lose the post office? Jesus Christ.
I love the post office, but you got to like be careful because they'll steal your shit. You know?
Well, yeah. Oh. I thought you meant like...
You think the post office will steal your shit?
Oh, yeah. Jewelry, clothes, like, they just take it. Because it gets run through a scanner. So if they see
what's in there.
Yeah,
what's apparently I'm never getting anything anybody wants to steal because I've never had anything stolen.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Okay, but is it really... Where are we at ethically? If they steal something, supposedly... And say I'm the consumer and I'm waiting for my fucking J. Crew shirt or whatever. Then I just call J. Crew and I'm like, I never got it. J. Crew
said another one.
The old who's really out except J. Crew.
I'm down with that. I just never buy things that are worth any money, so I don't think anyone's
right.
A, that company's not replacing it, and B, no one's stealing it. So
very fair.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we have an amazing post office lady. She's really sweet. She knows everyone's name. She knows the packages. She knows the dogs' names in the neighborhood. She's very sweet.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like a neighborhood, you know, it's a, it would be really weird to just not have it. I mean, I go mail stuff at the post office. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to live in a neighborhood where I like wave to the post office person, like, how you doing? And then like, there's a fresh bakery and I'm a piano teacher and my husband's a butcher.
It must be in Brandy's neighborhood.
Yeah, that's Eagle Rock. That's Eagle Rock, California, 100%. I mean, it's
nice.
Cheesemonger than a butcher, but yeah.
I was thinking
it's like this aggressively Mayberry town in the middle of Los Angeles. Like they're really obsessed with being a small town.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like it too because so Eagle Rock was unfortunately originally built as like a whites only neighborhood. So as it gentrifies, it actually gets more diverse. So I feel good about it. It's just fun to be like, oh, okay, cool.
The one neighborhood in LA.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking like, what if I was trying to think about what could happen that would make day 69 be the end of quarantine and the end of the pandemic. And I think what would have to happen is that so many people 69 that they sent off like a Care Bear stare sort of into the universe. And those particles like broke up the virus.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just what I've been sitting on for the past 5 minutes while we've
been... No, yeah. All that taint juice is the cure. And we didn't even
exactly.
But I feel like 69ing is so generally like unsatisfactory that it would be kind of a weak signal.
Yeah, exactly. It's the LTE of sex moves for sure.
I don't think you should 69 unless you're going to do it with one of you doing a handstand and the other one holding up their legs.
Love that.
Yeah. Tess, I think you're the only one that could pull that off.
Core strength.
I don't want to speak for you, Amber. I don't know if you could 69 into a handstand or not, but
I can figure it out. I'm pretty active. To run around, do my push-ups.
You guys, so this Wednesday, I'm going to be waking up early to take a class about Italian wine.
It's so fancy. So I'm taking it, you're going to be drinking Italian wine.
Possibly. Because here's what happened. So I got this like, you know, like quarantine itch. I was like, I saw this thing in the New York Times about how you could take like a live stream from an Italian sommelier to learn about Italian wine. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I want to do that. I love Italy. I love wine. I love learning shit. So I registered for this class, but it's in European time. Like it's military time and European time. So I don't know. I registered for it. And then I get the invite and it's like, okay, in Pacific Standard Time, that's 8:30 in the morning. So I'm going to be waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning to take a wine class on Wednesday.
Sipping your espresso.
So funny.
That'll be fun though.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited.
I mean, what are they gonna do? I mean, it's gonna be hard if you're not drinking it. They're just gonna be showing you different kinds of wine, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't send us like any wines to get or anything, so I think it's just gonna be her like lecturing about the different like notes and like how they're grown. But
she's
I think
gonna
that'll
get more drunk. I mean, I guess you're supposed to spit it out of your wine tasting or whatever, but
I think
you might have just been hoodwinked into paying to watch a woman get drunk at 8 a.m.
Fuck yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, nothing but respect for her.
The This brings me back to bartending. I used to bartend in the old world, and we would have bar meetings, you know, like to learn about tequila or rum or whatever, and then you'd have to do it before the restaurant opens. So 8 a.m., there you go. Oh, wow. You show up, and then you taste rum all day, and then you leave right before it opens, and you're just hammered at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yes!
I miss that.
Don't you mind? Because I would say that's my thing that I miss the most about working in service is how fun it was to be drunk on the job. Like, it is so fun to be a little buzzed and sauced and just serving people because, like, it doesn't feel like work. Like, you're just...
making drinks for my friends.
Yeah. Sadly, at my last service job in Salt Lake at the steakhouse, there was not, the alcohol was basically like on lockdown. So you could not, that was not happening.
Oh, I remember
because booze is so, you know, ridiculous there. There would be like margaritas that we'd serve, and the bigger margarita literally didn't have any more booze in it. It just had more margarita mix. So people would order it, and I'd be like, I'd be like just giving them the like eyes like, don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's not worth it.
That's disgusting. Do they charge you for like a double?
Yeah, they would charge you for the bigger size. And gross. It was, but there was only one shot in it.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Starbucks pulls that shit. If you order a venti at Starbucks, you're just getting two shots with more milk. So you have to pay for, if you want a triple,
you
need
to say an extra shot.
Yeah. So here's my little hack. Get the grande, add a shot. It's cheaper, and you want the caffeine. You don't want the milk anyway.
Tess hack.
Starbucks Tess hack coming in.
At one of my old jobs, we had this sommelier come in, and he was talking about wine. And he was like, so this wine, it comes from Greece, where it's very hard to work through the dirt to grow. So it really has to grow to improve itself, unlike my lazy bitch ex-wife.
Just like that, all of a sudden he turns into like Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes, everyone would like compare to his ex-wife somehow. Like, this was smooth drinking, unlike my ex-wife who was a nag. And I'm like, oh my god.
Oh my god, that is such a good like character idea. Have you ever done that as like a character?
I haven't. I've talked about it, but I should do that as a character.
That's really funny. This one's aging like a fine wine, unlike my bitch ex-wife.
I like that every single one just ends in unlike my bitch ex-wife. No.
The audience can just repeat it with you once you get to that part. It becomes a monster.
Just like look at everyone. God, what's it going to be like to perform in front of human beings again?
I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Shit's going to be crazy.
I love it. I'm going to be dumb and be the first person to dive in. Just like, when everybody's like, I want to wait and see what happens. I'm just like going to full jump in, no testing the waters.
I mean, there are a few clubs like opening with like a 25-person, you know, limit or something like that. Yeah.
Wise Guys in Salt Lake.
Wise Guy's doing it, the Improv in Austin. I was talking with Jake Kroger's podcast last night, and he was saying, like, I think this is a really good idea, is that places should just build in the ability to live stream their shows, because obviously we've seen that live streams can generate, you know, money and views and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that would make sense if you just were able to live stream. Sure, like, maybe you have 10 people, like, very distant from each other, but,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that some of these clubs, like, learn how to adapt and kind of, like, figure out, you know, how to meld both worlds now.
Hard. It's not very much, like, extra hardware you have to buy to do that.
No, totally. And it's like, okay, we've all seen that, like, this is, I don't think it's going to totally die after this, you know, quarantine ends. So it'd be interesting to see what people, like, decide to meld it or whatever.
Yeah, and 25 people, like, you know, if I do a half hour to 25 people, that's great.
Yeah, perfect.
For real. Awesome. I'm killing myself to get 15 people out to a show in LA, so.
Yeah.
Make the places smaller. Absolutely. Yeah.
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 Exactly. Well, yeah, and it's, I mean, that's the beauty of LA comedy. It trains you to deal with a 3-person apathetic audience. And if you can get anything there, you're going to crush in front of a real one.
That's going to suck having the seats far apart from each other, though. That's not going to be good.
Well, yeah.
Well, but I don't know. I was just thinking as an audience member, like, don't you hate it when you have to sit, like, super close to somebody anywhere? Or, like, in comedy clubs, they make you sit up, you know, and like so up front or like shitty seats. So it's kind of, as an audience member, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I get my own little island over here.
Comedy clubs kind of are like the entertainment version of those fucking restaurants you go to. They're like still $60 a plate, but it's communal seating. And it's like, oh, what the fuck?
God, I hate that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically comedy clubs, though.
Yeah, you're on like a picnic bench with like people next to you having the most obnoxious conversation of all time.
No, I have to be on an aisle or by a door. Like, I need an escape route at all times. Yeah, you know, 100%. When I walk into a place, I'm like, I can leave through there. I can go through there. Mm-hmm. There's a bar.
Yeah, you straight to the bar and the exit.
Yes. That's the way I used to ride, like, carnival rides when I was a kid, which is... This says a lot about me mentally. Remember like that swings ride when you would just be like in the hanging swings that would just go in a big circle?
Yeah.
When I used to be scared of it when I was a little kid, so I'd be on it and I'd be like, if the swing broke now, I would land on that. If the swing broke now, I would land on that. And that's like how I would ride the ride.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better. I was just like planning my survival at all moments as a child.
I think that's half the thrill of that ride is just you being like, where will my body and
I'll will myself into that tree and then I'll survive. Everyone else will die, but I'm gonna make it.
Yeah, as I get older, my like going into like public places, I have way more particular like needs as far as like where I want to sit or like as if it's too loud or you know what I mean. I was like, oh, like I really need like a comfortable level of everything or else like everything annoys me. I remember we were at like a Koreatown place, Koreatown fried chicken place called The Prince, I think. And we were seated, it was all booths around the edges, which were great because you could sit in and look out at everybody. But our light bulb was brighter than all the other light bulbs because they just used, like, obviously not the right one. And it was driving me fucking insane. And finally, I was just like, I'm taking this out. And I just, like, took it out.
Okay, Todd Glass.
I know. We had an extensive conversation about this once. But it made, like, the whole night better. And the people next to us thanked us, too, because it was fucking up their food. You don't ever want to see your food that well, you know? You don't need, like, a spotlight on it.
I went to the Prince. I've been there before. And again, back in the old world, I would just go to a bar and pull up and get a drink and like talk to the bartenders, like get a Manhattan, get it, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I went and that's what I ordered. I just went to Manhattan and they were like, where's your friends? And I was like, I'm just here, man. And he was just like, but you don't have anybody joining you? Like he couldn't fathom that I just wanted a drink just to sit and like it weirded him out. And I would have had two drinks. You know, but I was like, these dudes are fucking weird. So I just left. I think they thought I was a prostitute. I mean, I don't know.
Whoa.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I just think like, I'm always at bars by myself. It's like it's fucking airport rules. Like you're.
Yeah. I love going to bars by myself. There's, I got into a beef at the Bright Spot in Silver Lake because I got single seat shamed. They were totally fucking empty. And I brought my computer and I wanted to sit at a table for two and they made me sit at the bar because I was alone, which I would have understood if they were busy, but they were fucking.
Yeah, they're not busy.
That's weird.
I know.
I went on the Ferris wheel one time when I was in high school and I was the third wheel at the fair, the county fair. I was like, my friends were starting to date and I was the third wheel. And then they go in and they close the door and I'm behind them. And then the carnies were like, one single girl by yourself, one girl. And then locked me in the Ferris wheel in my own little thing. And I was like, thanks. And then they let me up there and like, there she is. She's single. She's alone.
At least they let you ride by yourself. I remember the last time I was on a Ferris wheel, there's this amusement park in central Pennsylvania called Knoebels. And I was and it's just open 24, you know, like all year round. So I like stopped there in like the middle of a tour by myself and was like, I'm gonna ride this Ferris wheel. This will be great. So I go up there, middle of the day, there's like nobody there. And I was like, hey, can I ride the Ferris wheel? And they're like, oh, no single riders. And I was like, what? I was like, what, do you think I'm going to kill myself or something? And the guy just looked at me and I was like, oh, well, now you definitely think I'm going to kill myself.
Also, like, what is their excuse for that? Either, like, yeah, or it's like, is somehow that going to throw off the balance of the Ferris wheel, which in the first place is like, okay, well, that's not.
I know. Well, it was so funny because then they were like, well, we can send one of our guys up with you. And I was like, nope. I'm not riding a Ferris wheel with just like a random central Pennsylvania carny.
Just tell me what you smell like.
Exactly. I'm good.
I think Ferris wheels should die forever. I hate them. They're my least favorite ride.
Why?
Wow, strong. Wow.
They're terrifying. They're not exciting, and they're useless. Ah!
But you just contradicted yourself. They can't be terrifying.
No, but they're terrifying in a way where I just am scared of heights. I'm not enjoying it at all because I'm scared of heights. And like, I like a roller coaster because it does shit. But a Ferris wheel, I'm like, fuck this. I'm just scared. Mm.
I don't know. The county fair where I'm from in Ventura County, the Ferris wheel is right on the beach. And it's so nice. Like, it's so fun to be like up high right over the ocean and like looking down at the carnival. I don't know. It's like,
Do you know the very first Ferris wheel was at the Chicago 1893 World's Fair, and the cars were like massive. You could fit like 40 people in each car. It was like this huge Ferris wheel, and they made it because they wanted to show up the Eiffel Tower. That's where Ferris wheels came from, because that was like the last World's Fair, and they're like, we got you beat.
Oh man, World's Fair, what a time! The original Shark Tank, if you will.
Yeah. There was a serial killer there.
Randy, have you read that book? Yeah, have you read that book?
Oh, Devil in the White City? Oh yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's going to be Leo Dio's doing a miniseries about it.
Finally? That's been in development for like 10 years.
Well, it was going to be a movie, and then...
now they're just doing it over Zoom?
Yeah, exactly. I'm so stoked, though, because like the descriptions in that book of what the fair looked like are insane, because it was like... these massive white plastered structures that bred on like some of the best architects from around the world that designed it and everything. And it would just be, there aren't that many photos of it that
exist.
Yeah,
they really went like all out for every year. I'm interested to see them recreate that.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Welcome back, Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Amber Nelson.
Hello. I've been trying to quit smoking, and I'm like, today, I was like, what if today I don't have a cigarette? Just as like an experiment. And now I like want one so badly.
I'm the worst person to talk to about that.
Tess is not good for quitting things.
No, cigarettes have been sounding so good. I don't like, it seems like a great time to smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in LA where I have a front porch and I just get to sit on it and smoke and just, like an old witch.
Yeah.
Who are they? That's a new person going into that building. I like those shorts you're wearing.
I love a porch sitter that just knows the whole neighborhood. That's pretty good.
That's where I'm at. I know the neighborhood and I know the crows and which community is beefing with each other.
Any good crow drama?
Crow drama, there's two flocks of them. And there's one that only does three calls, caw, 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 and there's one group that does seven. And they all like fight each other, and there's always one crow in the three calls that sits back and laughs at everybody.
And that's the crow on the porch.
That's the crow on the porch.
Yeah, exactly. Also has a tiny crow cigarette. <There's nothing.
laughs> Adorable.
I feel it's the crow's time to thrive, really. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, they're in these streets for sure.
Nobody's out there fucking anything up. They just could do what they want.
Yeah, these Eagle Rock crows are just like, they were already like pretty curvy and big, like big, bold and beautiful to begin with. They're just getting
big
bigger.
Winged.
Oh man, you could hear the wings and the crows in the neighborhood. You hear them. Like, it's really some big, big boys over here.
It's all that organic produce and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Big old babies.
What would it take for us to start killing crows and eating them like chickens? You know what I mean?
Oh, never a crow.
How many more weeks of this?
Never a crow. They're too smart.
I'm already in. Yeah, next week.
If it means not having to go to Trader Joe's.
Yeah, that Trader Joe's line is crazy.
What's your hunting weapon for the new world? Is it like a slingshot with a rock in it? Or is it a sword? A flamethrower?
I think a spear.
Spear?
Yeah. Okay.
I think I would do a flamethrower because I like fire.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Aries.
I'm gonna say my winning personality.
Oh.
Just gonna charm something to death.
No, I'll annoy something to death, more likely. Nag something to death.
What about you, Amber? What are you thinking?
I think I'd do a slingshot simply because rocks are abundant. You never run out of them.
Smart.
I could fuck people up from far away, you know?
That's smart. Yeah, that'd be really fun to get good at, too. Slingshot some cans in the yard.
You know, you don't often see t-shirt cannons, but it'd be nice to have like a thong slingshot.
again, the original t-shirt cannon, slingshot. What? No, wait, Tess, let's go back to your opening thing. Why are you still wearing thongs?
Because it's all I own. Okay. Yeah, because I haven't been underwear shopping. Yeah, but I'm like getting to the point where I'm like, this is ridiculous. I need to get some full butt for the quarantine.
Tess, okay. Are you an Aries? I heard that earlier. You're an Aries?
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. I'm an Aries rising. I just figured out what these things mean. I'm getting into astrology.
Oh, very. Is that
I have
like
nothing else to do?
Yeah. A good quarantine activity.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just like looking up stuff on the internet. But it's interesting.
It really is. It's so much more multifaceted than I think most people realize.
Yeah, because I'm a Cancer, and people are like, oh, you're a homebody, you're really sweet and meek, and I was like, kind of, but not really, and then I found my rising sign, and I was like, now it makes sense. Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I just found out, like, more about my rising sign recently, too, because I'm an Aries, so people are like, oh, so you don't finish things? I'm like, I actually obsessively finish things, and I was like, oh, it's because I'm a Taurus, and I'm stubborn. Taurus rising. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very masculine features you've got, right?
Thank you, yes.
But the Taurus also likes fine things, right? Like you like really nice quality things.
Is yeah, we're very like of this earth. Like we like primal, like carnal pleasures, like
Italian wines.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, I mean this all tracks for Tess 100%.
Exactly. Yeah, so like I didn't really know anything about my Taurus rising, and yeah, same thing. The more I learned about it, I was like, oh, that kind of fills in the holes.
Yeah. And what, you have Pisces moon too, right?
Yeah, Pisces moon, which also tracks.
Yeah, yeah. That all tracks.
Interesting. Yeah. I was just looking into houses and what the hell that is and what's in your house. Right before we started this today, I was like, my house? So I calculated that all out. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, what you got?
I took a picture. Let's see. I'll show you the picture, but here. Can you see it? No.
A little bit higher. Yeah, there it is.
I can't really tell what it says.
Oh, okay. So Venus and my ascending in the fifth house, the sun, me, Mars, Ra in the third. I don't know. Figuring all it out.
Have you like translated what that means? Because the houses can get very, I still need like someone to walk me like step by step through that stuff. Yeah.
I haven't translated it yet. I have a very nice lady on YouTube that's going to help me out though. When I look at this video.
I will plug our friend's podcast. What's your sign? If you're into astrology, our friends, Stevie and Lisa and Julia have this really good podcast called, What's Your Sign? And it breaks down astrology in like very like layperson terms.
Yeah. We went on there and they did all of our charts and stuff. And it was really interesting.
What'd they say about you?
I don't fucking remember, but it was, I have a bad memory and I live in the moment.
Well, the three of us have a lot of like crossing, like complementary things. So that was interesting to be like, oh, like where we cross and where we're different, which makes a lot of sense. It's like, I'm a Pisces, but Tess is a Pisces moon. Barbara's a Cancer, but you have like some air thing that Tess has. Like, there's like stuff that we all have that crosses over with each other. And it's like, oh yeah, that makes it check the tracks.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I just like, I can't get into. I've like tried and I just don't have patience to like learn about it because
it's a lot. It's a lot to learn.
And I'm like,
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
That's how I am with Game of Thrones. It's like,
exactly. It's one of those things where I'm like, this is for everyone else and maybe not for me.
And that's all good. And yeah.
That's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I turned a corner on a couple of years ago. I was like, you know what? We like give it a lot of shit, but it is also like the only religion that hasn't murdered a bunch of people or done anything horrible. So it's like, all right, well, whatever. It's not hurting anybody as long as you're also like.
Yeah, I think anything that makes you like reflect on who you are and why you might do things is very helpful, you know, and get to know other people more and understand that like they just naturally are different from you in ways that you can't change. That's very important, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and also just gives like, be like, oh, maybe that's a blind spot that I need to look at, and like, it does that resonate with me or not? I think it's a good kind of like tool for, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I did get this book that I need to like actually, you know, who knows if I'll actually read it. This You Were Born
the Tawny Nicholas
book. That book is amazing. Yes.
Yeah. So I do want to read this. You were born for this astrology for radical self acceptance. So I mean, it just caught my eye, and I was like, oh, it sounds interesting, but yeah, I don't know if I'll, you know, I gotta actually like crack into it.
It's Tawny a pretty book cover. And that's why we read books, right? Because the cover?
That's what happened. I mean, it's a holographic book cover, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's fun. It don't hurt anybody. I'm into it.
Before quarantine, I picked up this book that said the future is female, and it was like female science fiction writers, and I was like, rock and roll, perfect cover. And like reading it, I'm like, I can't, during a quarantine, read about how the world is going through a quarantine. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I want escapism. I want something nice and sweet.
Yeah, this was really a hard time for some dystopian sci-fi. Not happening.
Yeah, when we're living in it? No, thank you.
They really need to start, like, organizing books and movies in that way, like, by subject matter, so that you know. Because you don't want to see anything about an outbreak anywhere. We don't really want to see people coughing.
No.
I did watch I was one of those people, and I watched Contagion.
Did you watch it early on?
No, I watched it like 2 days ago. But actually, it was comforting in some ways only because I haven't seen, like, what happened in the movie we have not gotten to. So it was, like, somewhat comforting that it wasn't happening at that, you know, rate or something like that. So, I don't know.
When did you watch it, Amber?
Oh, I watched Outbreak right at the beginning. It's kind of hilarious because they're just like, sorry.
That's a great Dustin Hoffman impression. No, I don't know.
And not Renee Zellweger. Oh, what's her face? She's in it.
And she's also a Renee Russo.
Renee Russo. That's right. Love Renee Russo.
Love her,
she's
too.
So beautiful.
Oh my God, she's fantastic. Yeah.
Which one is she? What else is she in?
She's like in The Thomas Crown Affair, which is such a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah. She had a moment.
Yeah, sounds familiar. She's like, there's like a couple of gals from like that time period that I'm like, she was in Get Shorty. Yes, I know her from that. Okay, that's it. Got it.
She's like a woman. Like what I like about the 90s and whatever for those female stars, they're like women, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now it's just kind of like, I feel like I'm looking at children. And I don't like those TV shows where teenagers are having sex. It's really weird.
Oh, I know. Yes.
Like Riverdale or whatever. I want a woman. I want two full-grown human beings. Like, you know what I mean? And not some 16-year-old talking about blowjobs. It's weird.
Yeah, you're right. It was definitely like actually full-grown ladies.
Yeah, like Sharon Stone. She's a full-grown woman. She's sexy.
Yeah,
like Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies. It's just
Halle
this, like,
Berry, full-grown woman. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kathleen Turner.
Oh, yeah.
We're just like saying women that we think are fabulous. You know what I think it is? I know what happened. Everybody quit smoking and their voices got higher.
That's it.
Everybody quit smoking. Like if you think about like Kathleen Turner, she's got that like amazing smoker's voice, and we don't have smokers like Kathleen Turner anymore.
But what does that have to do with the age thing?
Well, I think it gives you a more, your presence is a little bit more, I don't think we're really talking about age. I think we're talking about like
the gravitas.
Right. It's not really like age. It's
Right.
Yeah. There's like a weight behind. Yeah. It's a lady that's seen some shit and brings it to a role.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Fair.
Somebody with a past and a personality. Yes.
Somebody who's got like a zhuzh of like Tennessee Williams to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Tennessee Williams. Do you know that Glass Menagerie? So he, on opening night, he invited his mother and his sister to see Glass Menagerie, which is a play about them. And they're like, I don't get it. I don't think it'll ever last.
Wow. How did that, like, unself-aware as a gift, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like a great way to live life, honestly, to be
but
like,
you know
oh.
what?
Yeah.
I think most people are that unself-aware. And I think that's something that people can keep in mind if they're like using real people from their lives in something, is that most people are not self-aware enough to realize that you've written about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if you just call your character like Bess.
Yeah.
Bess. It's not
yeah. It's for sure not. Yeah. It's Bess Parker.
It's Arbra A.
Yeah.
Andy Ozy. That's Andy Ozy here.
Andy Ozy. Wow. Sounds like a fun time.
Like, I don't know why, but I just really like this character.
Yeah. Yeah. They speak to me. Wow.
All right. We're going to do a few MySpace quiz questions. Do you still have a MySpace, Amber?
Oh, I don't. Oh, my gosh. I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Yeah. Sometimes we do questions from those stupid like MySpace quizzes that they would have on the bulletins or whatever.
I think I used to write poetry on MySpace. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We all did a lot of embarrassing stuff on MySpace.
I've got a MySpace. It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace.
Have you ever kissed a stranger in quarantine? No.
No. At what point does someone stop being a stranger? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I kissed a stranger, right? No, yeah. I don't think I have.
You haven't?
I don't think I have kissed a stranger.
Really? You've never kissed a stranger? Wow.
I don't know. Well, it's hard to think about my old sexual conquests, considering I haven't had sex in so long. I'm just like, what are men like?
Right. What kind of like an old relic you have to dust off and discover?
Oh, God. My vagina's like that. What would you call it? The cup where you have to pick out the most expensive cup. And he's like blowing the dust off. Never mind what I just said.
The Holy Grail?
Yes.
The most expensive cup.
Translation.
You're talking about that Last Crusade pussy. I know you're talking
about that Last Crusade pussy. I kind of like expensive cup as a euphemism for pussy. Like he's like my expensive cup.
Yeah, exactly. Got a real pricey chalice over there, lady. I like it.
I remember in high school once me and my friends were like at a theater thing in Southern Utah. And I, of course, was the most boy crazy person who ever existed. And I saw a guy mm-hmm. working at the pizza place who I thought was really cute. And they all mm-hmm. dared me to ask him for a kiss. I think he pecked me on the cheek or something. But like that was the biggest strain, like literal, I haven't even interacted with this person kiss. I mean, obviously, I've kissed people I barely know. I mean, that goes without saying. But
yeah, I was going to say, I've personally witnessed.
Yeah. But generally, we've said maybe two words to each other first.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God.
Okay. First surgery. There's a fun question. I don't know. There's some weird ones on here that I'm always like, why is that on here? It's just so funny.
I've never had surgery, and it freaks me out. And if honestly, you were going to be like, Amber, either open heart surgery tomorrow or you die, I'll be like, goodbye, everybody. It's been my blessing to be here. Like, no surgery for me.
Ooh, what brings really? You out about it?
Just not being in control, being under. I have to put my total trust in, like, an anesthesiologist. They freak me out the most because if they fuck up, you're going to feel everything and you can't wake up.
Mm. So it's more the feeling everything that scares you than the going under?
Yeah, the going and just trusting my life to just two strangers that could be idiots. You know what I mean? And like people sew up like scissors inside of you all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Cotton swabs. Yeah. Be like, I got a pain in my chest. And there's like a cotton swab sewn up inside of your chest.
Yeah, yeah. I've gone under for surgery less than like a handful of times in my life, but as I'm getting older, I'm getting more afraid of going under. And mm-hmm. I listened to something on a podcast like a year ago that like irrevocably made my fear even worse. Like when you're under anesthesia, do you guys all want this fear now? When you're under anesthesia, so like if you're in a deep sleep, you're still, your consciousness is still there, mm-hmm. right? Like your person is still there. When you're under, you don't even have that. And for some reason that thought just like scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. It's like, where do you go?
Like, where do you go? Yeah. Like that really, really freaks me out.
Well, yeah. It's like, I remember when I had my breast reduction surgery, it was like this weird loss of time. Cause when you're sleeping, you kind of like feel like time has passed when you've woken up, but it mm-hmm. was this like, yes. I'm under and now I'm awake and it feels like a moment happened. And it's like, whoa, that was like the craziest feeling I've ever had.
It's the weirdest. And you wake up and also like, not only do you not remember, but because you've gone through surgery, some major part of your body has like a bandage on it or something. So you're just like, it's so disorienting.
Yeah, that's very weird. Mm. I only had it when I was really young. I had like hernia surgery mm-hmm. and I was like, under 10 years old or something. So I barely remember anything, but I do remember getting put under and then letting me choose the flavor of like gas I want.
Oh my God.
Butterscotch, baby.
Hell yeah. I have to pee really bad. I'm so sorry. I'll be like, my bathroom's ready. I had six cups of coffee.
We have to take a break anyway.
Yeah, take a break.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. I'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Amber.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. How was the bathroom, Amber?
Oh, so good. You know, the other day, this is going to maybe TMI, but like last week, I was like, oh, I haven't eaten fast food in like a year. Like no McDonald's, no nothing. Just, mm-hmm. home cooked meal, whatever, because I like to cook. And I was like, I'll go to Del Taco and get a couple tacos. Fuck it. See what this is. And it tasted good, but I had to excuse myself real fast.
Yeah.
It's poison. I forgot.
You have to have your body has to have a tolerance for fast food to be able to process fast food, which is not great.
I used to just go to like the Pizza Hut buffet and shit. I can't imagine going to a Pizza Hut, like what would happen.
Oh my God. And it sucks because you're kind of like nostalgic for these foods. So you like mm-hmm. turn to them in times when you need comfort and that's the mm-hmm. last thing they offer.
Yeah. They're like, oh, did you want, you wanted to like have like a nostalgic moment? Well, your asshole's going to remember this for next time.
It's horrible. There should be like a phasing up kit that you can do. Like if you want to start to eat like fast food again, like say you're a healthy eater, like where there's like a mildly unhealthy thing you can eat on day two.
Eat like a quarter of a mm-hmm. chalupa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like what is the ramp up?
I'm a garbage can baby. Put it in me. It doesn't matter.
I know what you mean, Babs. Like it might make me a little sick to my stomach, but I actually think as far as eating garbage, I fare pretty well. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What's your meal?
Domino's thin crust all by myself.
What toppings?
Probably jalapeno pineapple or cheese.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. What's your other foods that's just like nasty, we're getting down, U.S. Postal Service doing it in the butt?
I guess like bullshit nachos, like the plasticky cheese, like and like gas station jalapenos.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Shit. Yeah, I'm. It's interesting because like I hadn't had like really anything super sweet in a while since this has started, and then our donut place just reopened, and I was like, I want to go support them, and like the sugar rush that hit my body, I was like, oh man, I can only eat like half of one of these at a time now, which is different from the way it used to be, which is good. But man, a donut will fuck me up now. 36.
How about you, Amber? Del Taco, is that your go-to?
You know, Totino's pizza rolls.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, I can't do a pizza roll. I mean, do you microwave them or do you bake them? Because I feel like microwavable, they're just unedible.
Yeah, they're no fucksies with a microwave. I bake them, but just something about it. You know, I haven't had them again in like a long time, but just a crispy fake pepperoni. I'm weird about fake meat pizza. I stopped doing it when I got one of those dollar sausage pizzas. You know, those bullshit cardboard pizzas for a dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
And had sausage on it. But then it was like a hair on the in the sausage that was like brittle and thick, like someone just pushed an animal into a chipper. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what it is.
That's basically.
That's what it is. So I can't do meat in my bullshit after that. But fair, but I think about it.
Yeah, totally fair.
There's an Olive Garden near me that's still open for takeout, and I'm just like, who's doing Olive Garden takeout right now? Like, if you're not there for the all-you-can-eat breadsticks, what are you doing? Like, I just...
Yeah, how many breadsticks are they giving you in a takeout order? Because it's not enough. There's no way it's enough.
No.
That kind of food is so weird on, like, date night. I was at an Olive Garden with a friend of mine, and we're eating, and I was just so full and salt. And I was like, how do these people have sex with each other after this? I'm disgusting. I want to go to sleep.
Yeah. I think you don't. I think Olive Garden is where you go if you're like, let's just eat a lot so we don't have to deal with it.
I will say, you guys, like, this is, like, how kind of, like, my trashy side, but one of the high school dances I went to, I was excited to go to Olive Garden before. Like, I thought that was
high school.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Look, a chain has a special place in my heart. If you did some time in the suburbs as a kid, a chain will be a nostalgic feeling for you. It's just nice. And it's going to be the same everywhere you go. It's kind of just nice to be able to tap into it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had Applebee's. I'd love to go to that Applebee's. I used to work at the smoking section of Applebee's.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty good time. That's a lot of blue drinks and Marlboros.
Are you allowed to smoke cigs on the job if you're working the smoking section?
Good question. I wasn't smoking at the time.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think you're just walking up to it.
I don't know. I feel like if you're being exposed to it, that should be like a perk of the job, is you should be able to smoke as much as you want.
Yeah.
The last time I bought cigarettes, I was staying in an Airbnb that smelled so bad. I haven't smoked in like almost 20 years, but I was staying in an Airbnb that smelled so much like cigarettes that I was like, if I'm going to be inhaling this, I'm just getting a pack of cigarettes.
I think that's good logic, okay?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the only way to get rid of stale cigarette smoke is fresh cigarette smoke.
Exactly.
Just light a cigar in the corner like incense.
Remember that weird, it's so weird to think about where our last place that we were before quarantine, but we were in Boise in a very weird Airbnb that was like all off kilter and you felt like you were walking diagonally when you're inside of it.
Yep.
It's so weird to think about that was the last like place I traveled to, or like different place I was.
I know. I was thinking about our sushi eating contest this morning. I was like, it's one of the last times I was in like a restaurant for real.
Yeah. So weird.
I was laying in my bed and I was like, should I go see the show? I want to go see the show because I bet we're going to go on a lockdown soon. I went and I saw my friends at the Pack Theater, classy night out. And I saw that show. I had a great time. And then we go to a bar afterwards. And I was like, let's one more round. And they're like, no, we're tired. We got to go. And my friend Henry says he still remembers this because I was the last thing he saw was me being like, one more round. And he's like, no, I'm just going to go home. And he's like, I deeply regret not getting one more round.
Aww. I love that story, Amber. That teaches such a good lesson.
Yes.
I agree.
More shots.
One more round. Okay, let's get to our lady problem. Thank you guys for writing into us lately. If you have a lady problem you want us to talk about, send it to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hey, ladies. I wrote in a few years ago when you read my lady problem to Tamara freaking Davis, the director of Crossroads. I lost it and you guys gave great advice. My problem was that I drunkenly married a man I'd only been dating for 3 months on New Year's and didn't know whether or not we should have a wedding. We did not have a wedding. Instead, we used the money we would have spent on a wedding on buying a larger home in a major city. We were able to convert the house into three small apartments. We live in one of them and I Airbnb out the other two.
Smart.
Yeah, it's really good. My husband got a higher paying job at our new city. The money we saved from not having a wedding and the new income allowed us to travel the world throughout our first 3 years of marriage. We've been to Greece.
Oh, this is amazing.
I know, she's crushing it. We've been to Greece, Santorini, Italy, Spain, Germany, Qatar, Japan, and South Korea. We're very happy with our decision to skip a wedding in favor of travel. We had planned to travel to Vietnam, Amsterdam, London, and Oslo this April. We agreed to talk more seriously about starting a family and moving into a more family-friendly home closer to our parents and siblings after returning from this April trip. Obviously, this trip did not happen. We decided to postpone selling our current home and talking about babies due to the pandemic, but I ended up pregnant about 2 weeks into quarantine anyway. Surprise! We know this is a very difficult time to be pregnant and discussed our options and opinions at a great length. My husband has older parents. My parents were both 27 when they had me. We agreed that we would both much rather prefer to be younger parents. No shade to older parents. His parents are great. This is just our preference. After some simple math, we realized that this baby will be born just after I turned 29. So in some ways, this is great timing. In other ways, it's awful. We got married on a whim and it changed both our lives drastically for the better. We're choosing to see an unexpected pregnancy during a pandemic as another wild choice that honestly couldn't be more us. My new lady problem is, how should I react if people shame me for choosing to remain pregnant during this time? I know it's kind of insane, but it's my choice. Hopefully no one says anything to my face, but if they do, I would love a zinger in the chamber.
People shame her? People shame her for keeping her child?
She's worrying that they will.
Yeah, she's worried about it.
I don't think anybody's going to shame you for not aborting your child. They sound crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't kill your child? You're like, what? What do you mean? You fucking psycho? Go stand over there.
Yeah.
First of all, I love this couple. I think they are so cute.
Wait, we're not. We got to keep. There's some more.
We got
You're great.
We got a little second part too. Okay. Another lady probably might be able to help me with is the baby shower. I personally hate baby showers, but I'm going to need a lot of stuff and I can't go to baby stores right now. I have no interest in a Zoom baby shower. I thought about putting together small boxes of chocolates, a mini bottle of champagne, a pre-stamped guess the baby weight and a bet envelope and mailing them to my guests along with my registry. Then I realized I would be 7 months pregnant on Halloween. I love Halloween, fall, and anything spooky. Is it morbid to do a gory, scary baby shower box? Absolutely not. I love that idea. Should he even care if it is? Any fun ideas for Halloween-themed baby shower box? I will include lots of Halloween candy, of course. Hope you ladies are surviving during this troubling time. Your podcast has helped me through so many things over the years, this pandemic included. Okay.
This is so cute. I love it. Ooh. I love all these ideas. She's so original. Like, you guys are just adorable. And no, I think it's very, it's you. Like, everything that you guys do seems to be very, like, outside the box. And so I think a Halloween baby shower is very fitting for you.
100%. I mean, one of my favorite baby showers I've ever been to, my friend Bianca, she's like a special effects makeup artist. And when she had her baby, she had a demon baby pinata that we all beat up to make sure that her baby wasn't going to be evil. And it was super fun. And we had a blast, but then also like the, her square friends were like, why is there an evil possessed baby here? So it was like, especially fun to fuck with them.
I mean, I think, yeah, follow your instincts. It's like, I think first of all, the baby shower box idea is really great to kind of put it out there and get a registry going and stuff and give something to people, but not have to deal with the awkward Zoom of it all. I mean, that sounds like a total nightmare. So I totally understand wanting to avoid that, but yeah, do it, make it yourself as much as possible. Make it a fun, weird, gory one. Like,
yeah. You know, it'd be really fun sending blank Wednesdays to everybody to have everybody decorate one and send them back to you. I think that would be a fun, way you're getting fun mail back from people in addition to whatever registry gift they give you.
It is fun. Yeah. Creative.
Mm-hmm. That could be a fun thing. But also, the first part of this, too, it's your choice. Like, everybody can mind their fucking business, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I have a friend who's pregnant right now, and she hasn't told me that anyone's been, you know, saying that to her. It's like, obviously, anybody who says that to you, A, is not your friend or loved one. And
yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck their problem is and why they're talking to you about this. But if for some reason you get a reaction like that, block that person, get that person out of your life because they don't belong to be.
How's this for a comeback? Maybe if you were more concerned with your own life, you'd have someone in your pussy right now too.
Exactly.
I like that in this situation a baby grows inside of a pussy, which is
I don't know. It's kind of a cheat.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, we need some zingers for her. She's asking for zingers. So, okay, let's see. I'm not in, my head's not in zinger space.
Yeah, zinger space. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm never big into like insulting people because people are going to find some way to make it, you know, whatever. So I'm always just like, okay, have a nice life, you fucking crazy psycho. Like,
that's a good way. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
What about, I'll let you know if I have any extra pacifiers because you suck.
Hey. There you go.
There it is. Tess Barker. Just get Tess to write you a bunch of roast jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I will. If anyone gives you shit, email us. I will write some roast jokes for you.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Well, I didn't realize I had a dumb baby in my life already.
That's funny. What it comes down to is that, yes, the world's insane right now, but we need good people to have kids and raise them so that hopefully there's a hope for the future. And so all the people I knew who have kids, I'm not personally making that choice, but I'm glad that they are doing it because they are the type of people who I want to be putting out, you know, new people into the world. So I'm glad that you guys are doing it.
Well, and like a baby, like honestly, is going to bring so much joy to your family and like, and you guys too, obviously. And it's also, it's just like something different to talk about than like, so how's your walls? You know?
So that is a great pitch for babies.
Yeah.
To talk about besides how's your walls. Oh, I have an idea for your shower box too. I don't know, but you could put on the front, we're having a fun size human.
With that's cute.
Oh, I'm like, this baby's the size of a Snickers bar right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I mean, I love that you guys, your whole story is very sweet.
I know. It's like they got married after knowing each other for 3 months. That's so cool. I love them. And then they toured the world together. Like, you guys are just adorable.
So smart. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to ask what everyone's favorite Halloween candy is because I'm thinking about candy. Has Sean still been getting care packages in quarantine? Yes. Yes. We got an Easter care package. His mom is so sweet. I was like, it's the middle of the, you don't need to send us candy, but thank you. But yeah, we don't have any holidays until, we'll probably get like a 4th of July care package.
Oh, fuck
yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Favorite Halloween candy?
Milky Way for me. I like the caramel.
Okay.
Yeah. Milky Way is good.
I like the caramel.
I was like a very Jerry Seinfeld, like, whoa, I like the caramel.
But I will say Milky Way is pretty low on the caramel ratio. Like, you're getting a lot of caramel in that.
It's more nougat. Yeah. Probably Snickers has more caramel.
I think so. But I think when I think caramel, I think Snickers. And honestly, nougat is a little controversial, right?
Is it?
Not everyone. I don't know. What? Not everyone loves a nougat. I don't.
I love nougat. I mean, it's the filler. I don't think nougat gets like the credit it deserves because it's the filler. But it's really working. Okay.
I'm always pleasantly surprised with the Three Musketeers and how much I enjoy it. I would never choose it on my own, but then I'm always like, oh, this is just delightful.
That is a nougat heavy candy.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Ripped away. Yeah.
Twix. Maybe Twix has the most caramel.
Yes.
I like Twix.
Yes. Because the cookie really brings out the caramel too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to say Reese's for Halloween. That's,
you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Reese's isn't a go-to.
Salty peanut butter and chocolate. Mm-hmm.
Anytime Reese's does like their holiday limited edition stuff, it's always my favorite. I like the egg at Easter. I like the pumpkin at Halloween.
Well, those have a higher peanut butter count too.
Exactly. Because the chocolate's a little bit thinner then too. It's just like the ratio is better.
You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to watch videos of candy being made.
I want candy so bad.
So right soothing. I just like, I watch that. Do you guys watch Gourmet Makes at all when she does the gourmet versions of those? This is a very, very soothing YouTube. They are very popular, but she does gourmet remakes of everything. Gushers, Snickers, Reese's. Ooh. She goes through and breaks it down to like the very, like she breaks everything apart and then rebuilds it in a gourmet version. And
yes.
It's so soothing to watch. It's incredible. So watch that. It's a very good like quarantine show.
That is a great recommend.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I was just like thinking about the lady problem again. I just wanted to say this real quick. Also, when you're telling people, don't like say it with pride. I think if you say it like we're having a baby, then you invite that moment that they could say something shitty. But if you're
I don't think she should have to change how she says she's having a baby to people. That's their fault.
I'm just like saying, like, own it with, like, from a place of pride yourself. You know what I mean? Like, that, just come at it with that energy. All right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Just don't feel like she should have to say it. Like, she shouldn't have to not have pride saying it.
Well, yeah, no, I'm saying to have pride saying it.
Oh, like, I thought you were saying don't have, like.
No. I'm saying, like, own it when you're talking about it. Don't come at it from, like, a, like be proud of your choice. Don't come at it from a, like, don't give them that opportunity. Like.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fuck anybody who's going to talk shit on that. I don't think anyone will. So I think.
I don't think they will either. But you got this. Let us know what the baby's name is and everything.
Yeah.
Cute.
Hell yeah.
I feel like in 3 years, they're going to live on a sailboat with this baby.
Yeah, give us updates every few years about what cool thing you're doing next.
Yeah.
Yeah, very into it.
Amber, where can people find your stuff on the internet?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Smelson, AmberSmelson. I also have a cooking show on Instagram. I put it on YouTube. I primarily focus on Instagram, but if you want to check it out on YouTube, I'm there too.
Nice.
And that's it.
Oh, that's fun. Awesome.
And also The Brighter Side on Last Podcast Network.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we will be, for Patreon members, also thank you. We've had some new people signing up for Patreon. Thank you so much. It's so awesome to see new people coming in and listening to the dumb shit we have to say. So thank you for that. If you want to check that out, you can go to patreon.com/ladylady, and we'll be doing our top secret session over there, which is a little extra bonus sesh we do with the guest with stuff that's too hot for the regular feed. So.
Ooh.
We're all going to go put on tube tops and
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.